Welcome to the Brew Drink Run podcast, brought to you by the only website that promotes brewing your own beer, consuming the best craft beers in the world, and then running off the calories, brewdrinkrun.com.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 168 of the Brew, Drink, Run podcast, brought to you this week by Raymond's beautiful singing voice. Raymond, how's it going?
It's all good.
All right, my name's Lee.
I'm Raymond.
I'm Corbin.
Hey Corbin, thanks for joining us again this week. Keith, we miss you. Come back to us. We are waiting your return. If you like the show, please rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you grab your podcast and write a short review. Your ratings and reviews help folks to find the show. And if more folks find the show, we'll start putting advertising in about every 30 seconds, and then you won't be able to listen to it because you'll be too busy buying sweet stuff from our awesome sponsors. This week, we talk about running, a little bit about homebrewing, and of course, we're going to talk about beer. Raymond, what are we starting with?
Today, we have a beer that Corbin brought to us, fresh from Nashville. It's by Honky Tonk is the brewery, right?
Honky Tonk Beer?
It is an India Pale Ale brewed and canned by Honky Tonk Brewing Company out of Nashville, Tennessee.
Good job, you guys.
Yeah, between the two of you. That was awesome, wasn't it?
We're off to a rousing start.
See, I questioned it, though, because I wondered for a moment, not knowing this brewery,
yes,
if the Honky Tonk was the beer or was the brewery.
I thought the exact same thing when I saw the can for the first time. I thought Honky Tonk was the name of the beer.
Yep.
But no.
Nope. It's a West Coast style IPA by Honky Tonk Brewing.
All right. Before we get into drinking this little beer, I want to talk about the can art. Yep. We are drinking these out of cans. Are these wrap cans? Are these the shrink wrap?
Yes, they are.
And Raymond, tell us about, you're the art guy, talk about the design on these cans.
Well, it's kind of a surprising image, honestly, considering this comes from Nashville and is brewed by Honky Tonk Brewing Company.
Dragon City, that's what they call Nashville, right?
And I would like to say I'm sorry to all of our Nashville listeners. I hope you enjoyed listening to the first 3 minutes and 23 seconds
of
this.
Listeners?
I don't know. No, we don't have any listeners.
Check out Google Analytics.
So it is a picture of a Chinese dragon, very traditional. I've actually seen this image, I think, pop up in a couple
Google image searches?
No.
for Chinese
actually,
dragon?
For our first year anniversary, there's a mason
Does Corbin
jar.
Have any glasses for this on it? Can we offend any other breweries?
I'm sure we can.
Okay, great. Let's work for it. All right. Where have you seen this Chinese dragon before?
And actually, this is so lame, but I do an assignment where I have my students do research on different color, how the use of different colors in different cultures. And this image comes up because it is so colorful. And has a lot of traditional kind of Chinese.
Not this specific dragon. Right.
I want to say yes. Well, not like this specific. This has been modified, but
right.
I've seen this dragon style,
which
before.
Is just like it always reminds me of like the New Year's Day parade, right? Like it's
Yeah, it's the stylized dragon. Lots of good colors.
Yeah.
I think I've seen a tattoo of this before.
Yeah, and there I was going to say it's now starting it looks very tattoo like.
Yeah, for sure. And it's been poured into glasses for us. Corbin, what is this West Coast style IPA? There's certain things you're looking for in a West Coast style IPA. Are you seeing those in this?
Sure.
Are you?
Oh, no. You can't bring it back now. Am I what?
Are you suggesting that there's a particular appearance for West Coast IPAs?
Yeah.
Are you offending West Coast IPAs?
No. They are cloudy. They are a little bit darker.
It's hazy. It is darker. Some of that caramel malt making its way in there.
I'm not going to offend all of the West Coast with
I think you
a
already
style
have.
Class. It's a style classification.
I managed to offend the entire East Coast. You can offend the West Coast.
All right, Midwest, look out.
You're next.
That's Corbin. That's your responsibility.
Your days are numbered. aroma on this beer. You guys get a noseful in there, and Raymond, let me know what you're smelling.
Mm. Oh, there's kind of a fruity note in there.
But also a little bit of earthiness, too. Not as much, but there's that...
It builds.
Yeah, it's not a one note kind of a thing.
I was thinking kind of fruit cocktail, mm-hmm. and the initial
like the canned fruit cocktail on the syrup. Yeah, that's not a bad place to start. I'm not getting pine. I'm not getting resinous, which makes sense. You're going to expect this to be fruity pineapple. You're going to expect that
guava.
You're going to expect that kind of experience with a West Coast style IPA.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody. Everybody's nodding now. Except for Raymond, who's taking a picture of his beer. Oosh. All right. It's time to drink. It's time to drink these beers. All right. I'm watching you guys drink so we don't have dead air. I'm getting good at this. All right. Now I'm going to drink so there's not going to be dead air.
Talk.
All right. So malt.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of malt.
But I'm getting some a lot more earthiness and a little bit of pine.
Yeah.
Which is
that resiny pine flavor is definitely in there. 100%. Kind of a shock considering how it smells.
Yeah. This is a pretty unique sensory experience wherein the aroma and the flavor don't line up one to one kind of at all. I feel like I'm going to continue to develop this hypothesis over the next few sips. But the idea here is that the aroma will add to, it complements rather than detracts. But I really am kind of missing on my first sip here, I want to swap out that resinous quality for a guava or a pineapple. That's on my first sip here because I kind of got primed for that a little bit. And then I got given something... That's just different. Mm-hmm. What, Corbin, what's your experience here for a sip?
Yeah. It's exactly what you just said. I'm going to go with maybe what we're supposed to be appreciating about this is more of the combo and the full experience, not the piece by piece. So you get that different aroma, which leads in with, I guess, the earthiness being the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a pine tree with tropical fruit dangling from it.
The earthiness is really, on second sip, is kind of the big player in this. Like
it takes over, I think, now.
It's muddy, and that's not necessarily a bad terminology, a knock on it at all, but you're not getting those bright spots. You're not getting those hits of different things. You're getting... more of a stew of them, like a more of an amalgamation of that combination of things, where with a lot of the West Coast IPAs I've had recently are like they have these really bright hits for me where I'm able to pick out certain flavors that the overall experience is just different, is a much lighter drinking experience than this, which I consider to be kind of heavy in a way.
It's
which,
dense.
Yeah, it's dense for sure. And the maltiness... ultimately is what I'm going to attribute it most of. I don't know. The hop combo. Do they mention the hop combo on the can?
Let's see what we've got here. I don't think so. No, they talk about the dragon.
It talks about being massively dry hopped. So I'm also going to throw out there, I assume that the dry hopping hops probably were not the same hops they used.
In the brewing,
which we'll attribute to some of those really fruity aromas, but more dense... and I don't know, earthy bitterness and flavor.
Yeah.
Normally, I don't turn to reviews or anything at this point. I'm just going to start kind of flipping through and kind of seeing a lot of obviously local check-ins for this beer. I'm not sure. Do you know if Honky Tonk is distributed outside of? I personally haven't seen it, but that doesn't mean anything.
I don't. I walked into a package shop right. Smack dab on the other side of my hotel, and at first there really wasn't that much beer to be found, And then, like, they had, like, a local beer section. And they had, like, three or four six-packs. There was a surprising amount of Atlanta beer there, though. Hmm. I guess not surprising. It's only 4 hours away. But they only had one six-pack of this. And they had, like, two six-packs of another local Nashville beer. And aside from that, they really didn't have much else.
Now, I was in the last time I was in Tennessee, they still have some pretty archaic brewing laws, as I remember.
I think it's getting better. I think it got better recently, mm-hmm. fairly recently. But yes, the last time I went like drinking in Knoxville, it was an uphill battle. Not only could local breweries not produce above a certain ABV, I don't think there was a certain volume they could produce. Like, it was all kinds of things like that were very upsetting.
I want to say it was even to the point where it. Being a brew pub was more efficient than being a brewery.
Yeah. Honky Tonk looks to be very new. So unfortunately, I can't find their official website. Pulled up their Facebook. They started canning in February. So on February 8th, they started...
HonkyTonkBeer.com.
Oh, that's great. Good. Thank you. Oh, no. Well, I just did a Google search. Don't tell me how to use the internet. I do this for work.
Whoa.
I'm on like free time now. I can't... Oh, it's because of the age paywall.
Now,
probably their Google
honky
hit.
Tonk is a big term in Nashville.
Sure.
Yeah.
Tell us about the honky tonk.
Let me tell you. There's a place called Nudie's Honky Tonk.
Well, the nudie okay. suit. Can we do word association now? Can we just start going on to like Graham Parsons' nudie suit, and then we can talk about?
Do
no?
we have any restrictions anymore on this podcast at all?
I don't
all?
Think so. I mean, they do have a beer called LeBron James, which I'm not sure if that's okay or not. I'm pretty sure not okay. All right, let's look at their description of the West Coast IPA. Thank you so much for everyone pointing out to me what the web address is. It's honkytonkbeer.com. West Coast IPA, 6.2% ABV, 85 IBUs. True to the style, our West Coast IPA is a hop bomb loaded with sea hops to 85 IBUs. Sea hops are going to be Columbus, Centennial, Citra. Yeah. I'm missing anything?
Cascade. Good call.
You may hear the ice cream truck going down the street. I'm not really sure about that. We dry hop it for a big hoppy aroma. It's dry, citrusy with notes of grapefruit and orange with a lasting bitterness. So those are their official tasting notes on this.
Well, that's West Coast IPA.
That's the one we're having, right?
No, we have.
West Coast IPA.
West Coast style.
Look on the top. Oh. Now it's my turn to tell you.
Well, no, but that says 6.2%. This says 6.5.
Oh, snap. Well, it's not the Bedonkadonk Stout.
Before and after the law changes.
Oh. It's not the Tennessee Jed.
it must be West Coast.
All right. Your ABV may vary.
James.
It's No, that's a 5.9%. Dark chocolatey brown ale with flaked oats, making it smooth and full bodied with a dry finish. This beer is rounded out with a generous dosage of hops, giving it just the right amount of bitterness. LeBron James. Back to West Coast IPA. Based on that description, do you guys feel like this is hitting those points?
No.
Mm-mm.
No. Mm-mm. I feel like if it was. That's not what I'm getting out of this. What I'm getting out of it is something that is much more dense. It's much more muddied. It doesn't have those bright notes. It's not even, I wouldn't even consider this particularly dry.
Well, I'm not even getting, you know, like Columbus, I guess, is the one that's mostly mm-hmm. noted for being really, I guess, more piney.
Yep.
Right?
Out of those. I don't know. So it's definitely not Citra. It's on my list.
Or Cascade.
Or Cascade. Yeah. So, how's your running going, you guys?
Chinook. That's
Chinook.
What it is. It's Chinook.
Chinook.
We were going to get there
like
eventually.
The helicopter.
Chinook. Like it.
I have too many options for naming this episode already. If you could have done this the last episode, that would have been real, real helpful. All right. Corbin, as a part of our commitment to the health and well-being of our listeners, not only do we drink great beer, but we also run off those calories, keeping us in Ken doll-like shape, just smooth everywhere and really well-defined. What do you do to keep yourself in those pre-described Kendall proportions.
Well, I went for a bike ride.
Tell
yesterday.
Me more about this bike
and
ride.
And the day before that.
Stop it. 2 days in a row?
I know, right? I took Madeline. We went around the neighborhood.
Madeline's his young daughter.
Yes.
Went riding around the neighborhood, so you had a little extra weight on it. It's good.
Yeah.
Good for the reps.
Like 12 pounds of her.
Nice.
She weighs more than that, but she's very tiny.
Tell us about your rig. Do you have anything special with your bike? What kind of bike do you have? What kind of setup is it?
I think it's a Giant, maybe. Mm-hmm. And I have got...
That's a kind of bike.
That's a bike type. It's a huge bike.
Yeah. It's a bike for large individuals.
So Kristen, my wife, got me for my birthday a couple years ago a kid bike seat that sits in front of you instead of behind you.
Interesting.
So Madeline gets to hold on to the handlebars and...
So she's actually... Oh, so it's not like a basket where you can sit the kid on front.
Like, on it's like E.T. No, I'm just kidding.
Like, no, that's like a basket on the front of the bike. Like, the kid's like, ah, like riding over the wheel.
Like in between the seat.
In between,
right,
the,
in
seat.
Between the seat and the handlebars. And so she sits in there. It's a seat. It's got like shoulder straps and a little seat belt and her little feet.
Cool.
Like little
Is that not
holders.
Hard to pedal?
No, it's not very big. I mean, it would be okay. It would be easier if it was not there, but it is not. It does not limit my pedaling movement.
It's the gift that keeps on giving.
It works different muscles. How about that?
Yeah, I'll take that. Okay. And you, do you have like? Do you have regular straight handles or do you have the flyback handles?
I got straight.
So you are reaching out.
I'm like leaning forward.
Yeah,
yeah. It's probably not the best bike design for that seat.
Probably.
But Madeline really enjoys it, so.
Cool. And yeah, you're able to get out and do some stuff. That's
and
cool.
She can steer.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
She really likes hitting the buttons, like changing gears.
Oh, great.
And I tell her that, you know, I said, we don't hit the buttons. We don't change the gears. And so, of course, when I change the gears, she goes, you hit the buttons. And I was like, it's okay, honey. I can hit the buttons. And then there was pouting.
Well, you should just let her randomly... Get your chain to skip. And
I had to stop and take a phone call, and she was over there.
Oh, boy.
So, like, trying to get back going, it was just a nightmare.
That's delightful. I had a skipping chain. Had to bring the bike in for a little maintenance, little R&R for the bike. Got a nice little tune-up. Found a new place to do my bike tune-up. My local bike shop closed, unfortunately.
Which one were you going to?
We were going to the one down... local bike talk brought to you this week by audible.com. Go to audibletrial.com/brewdrinkrun to get your free audiobook. Our local bike shop was over on Victory in Ardsley Park. What was it? It was not quality, not star.
Link.
The Bicycle Link
yeah.
was our spot because we have Trek bikes. They were the Trek bike dealer, and so that's where we went to. So we had to pick a new bike shop, a new LBS, a new local bike shop for the lingo. And we went to Star Bikes because it's over by the comic book shop.
Yep.
And that's how I base all of my purchasing decisions on how the proximity to the comic book shop. And I got their bike tune-up. I called around town, and their bike tune-up was a free commercial here for all our Savannah listeners for Star Bike. It was like $23 less than everybody else's just regular bike tune-up. Like, yep. So,
and they can usually do it in a couple of days where everybody else seems to do it.
It was 24 like hours, I think.
Yeah, wow. There's like 2 week wait on everybody else's.
It was nothing.
See, I got a good experience with quality.
Yeah.
I took my bike there, and I got a new tire and a tune-up for probably $30.
Oh, Well, my tune-up was more, and I called, anyway, but this is like my big every year, like they do a whole cycle of things to my cycle. So it was more than that, but not a whole lot more than that to get the whole deal, but I called them and it was anyway more, but super happy with them. Good. And you're going to, like, you just bought a bike from Quality, right?
No. This is, I'm about to do one of the worst decisions that you can probably do.
Yes.
I'm going on a 50-mile bike ride with my son.
That sounds nice.
Who is getting his bicycling merit badge.
Oh.
And Boy Scouts.
Meanwhile, Matt LaPaglia, who's listening, who just
I'm not done yet. I got to tell you about my full bad decision. I don't actually own a bike.
Oh, yeah,
so
this is pretty good.
Purchase a bike in just the next 3 days before the trip.
Take my bike.
Well, if your son wants to ride.
Dude, take my bike.
In the kid's seat.
I need a new bike.
I know you need a bike, but you don't need to make a rush decision for your bike. Take my bike.
Yeah, it's okay.
All right.
I've got my brother's beach cruiser. He painted it gold.
Oh, yeah, I want to.
Does it have a cup holder?
It does. Done. You saw it, haven't you?
Yeah, I did. That's right. It had tape holding it together. Yeah, that's right. It has packing tape all over it.
Can I take that to the mountains in northern
perfect.
Georgia?
You got a place to keep your beer.
It's a Boy Scout trip, no beer.
I thought they changed their rules recently. They got all lax about everything, right? That's what I read in the news. Was it fake news? I don't know. I can't tell anymore.
Boy Scouts,
by the way. Yeah. All our Boy Scout listeners, just turn this off. Blue. If anybody is still listening to this episode, I am so sorry. It is off the rails. Yeah. So, yeah. Speaking of 50 mile, or turn that to a 50K, our boy Matt LaPaglia down at
Key West.
50K. That's 30 some odd miles, boys and girls. That's a long time to be out running.
Hot.
Very hot weather. And to see he had a good support team. A lot of local runners went out and did it. So it was, hopefully he's getting some well-deserved rest by the time this podcast episode comes out. And he is rejuvenated, and knowing Matt and his wife, Nicole, they've already planned their next half dozen ultras.
Oh, well, they seem to be going somewhere new every weekend.
I think they've got a plan. Yeah, they want to mark off a race in every state, and now they've kind of graduated to these ultras for both of them, really. And so it's increasing levels of what I see to be absolute craziness, but it's not uncommon now. I mean, what used to be just bonkers for people to do these ultras, that's the new marathon. Like these 50Ks are the new marathon in a really weird way. Mm-hmm. It's like the, you know, we've got people who traditional would be just like walkers who do half marathons. And so now that just means you've got to keep, everybody just has to keep elevating if you're actually somebody who is trying to be timey and speedy and all that kind of stuff. I hurt my back, so I haven't been running or biking or doing anything. I've been laying down. I'm at 20% of my normal activity level thanks to my watch telling me. I'm on day like 9 or 10 of 20% of my typical activity. So it's good that I gave up dairy, pretty much almost all meat.
Take the meds.
I'm trying to do a zero cholesterol diet. I'm not there. I'm getting to where I can do at least 2/3 of my meals a day with, you know, breakfast and lunch, zero cholesterol meals. And then dinner will typically have something in it that gives me 15, 20 milligrams of
how much cholesterol is in your average can of beer?
Zero. Come
you
on.
Sure?
Yeah,
sure?
100%. How much animal product goes into my beer? I'm not drinking Rogue Donut stouts with bacon. Not anymore. Not again. And most of my beers don't have egg yolk or eggs. Yeah, egg yolk in them. So I'm good. I'm good on that. I'm not Rocky in my beer these days. So unfortunately, but I'm jonesing. Like, you know, when you're forced to be laid up, it really makes you want to exercise. When it's not a choice, when it's something you're like, I can't look at these walls anymore. I need to go outside and do something. So I am really amped. I have all kinds of great ideas of all the things I'm going to do, like walk. I'm going to start with walking, and then I'm going to go like run walking.
Just put one foot in front of the other.
And then eventually I'm going to like run someplace, and it'll be great. And you'll all know about it here first on the Brew, Drink, Run podcast.
No,
I'm really going to lean hard into that run part whenever we get there and we get to talk about that. But before we get to talking about that, there is something else that I want to talk about.
And what about reading? There's a leisure time activity that will help you learn things you'd like to know about many subjects.
Raymond's Book Corner.
Raymond's Book Corner is where we go to Raymond to learn about the latest, the greatest, the funniest, the most learned of books that you can listen to by going to audibletrial.com/brewdrinkrun. If you go and sign up for an account, they will give you a free audiobook just for free. Just why not? You're already listening to free audio. Why don't you go get a book? It's even longer than the show. You will probably learn. You will definitely learn more than you'll learn in this show. You'll probably be you'll definitely be entertained more than you are in the show. And it's free. audibletrial.com/brewdrinkrun. Raymond, do you have a recommendation this week?
Well, yes, I have a book.
This a mess.
I have a book. I don't know. Yes, it is a recommendation because, all right, so.
Boy.
So I think we've announced this on the podcast, but I have a new job coming up this fall. I am changing my university affiliation. And as a result, I kind of feel like I have the opportunity to reinvent my class a little bit in ways that I haven't been able to do. And so I've been rereading some old school art books to see if I want to start making my students read those things. And so I have a recommended book that I'm thinking about recommending for my students. But it's called Art and Fear, but it's probably not going to be interesting to anybody but my... students. Lee just visibly groans.
I just really thought we were turning a corner. I thought that this segment of the show was going to save the show. I really did. I thought it was a slow burn. We started into this. I'm like, nope. He is going to save it with something. Something amazing. Hey, Corbin, you read books.
I do indeed.
You read any books lately or ever that you think that other people need to read or listen to?
No.
Oh,
I'm sorry. Yeah, I've been reading The Name in the Wind by an author.
Great.
Wow.
God. All right, to get Lee's been reading comic fear.
Patrick Rothfuss. Patrick Rothfuss.
Okay.
Rothfuss. Jeez, hold on.
Your favorite segment of the show where people pull out their phones and look things up. Oh, boy. For me, I've been reading Fordlandia, the book Fordlandia, which is about Henry Ford deciding to build a city in Brazil to facilitate rubber production. And this, the Amazon, kind of the 19-teens to the 40s Amazon historical writing, I love. And there's something about it. And it goes back to like... The Lost City of Z. It goes out to these explorers. I love these real life explorer books about going off into the jungle and these guys either not. I love the ones that are anticlimactic. I love the one they don't discover anything or they all disappear. like if they actually do something, I'm way less impressed. But I love the effort that goes into these expeditions. Theodore Roosevelt, The River of Doubt, all of that kind of stuff I really love. So Fordlandia plays right into that. It's a really well-written historical account of Henry Ford founding that city. It's by Greg Grandin. You can definitely get an audiobook of it if you are already an Audible subscriber. It's only $14.95. It's totally worth that. Or you can go to Amazon.com, click on the show link in our notes. Oh, I didn't say that right. Click on the link in our show notes.
He tried to save it.
And it's only $2.47 if you want to get a hardcover book of it. Look, at that rate, we'll get 19 cents. I feel like that's a win. I feel like that's a win for me. If you listen to the show and you enjoy it, go to brewdrinkrun.com. This is a test to see who has listened this far in the show, because I figured $2.47, not a big investment for you. Mm-hmm. And if you appreciate how bad this show is, go to brewdrinkrun.com. Go to the show notes for episode 168. I'll include a link to Fordlandia, the hardcover edition, which is only $2.47. You buy that, and I'll check our Amazon referral link and see how many people actually did that.
Okay.
I'm going with zero. I'm going that zero
challenge
people
accepted.
Are going to do that.
Challenge
did you
accepted.
Find out the name of the author of your book?
It was Patrick Rothfuss.
You did. You figured it out.
I was right the first time.
And why do you think people would like this book?
It's a great fantasy novel. Kristen recommended that I read it.
Your wife.
My wife. Way to go, wife. Wifey.
Art and Fear. It's a good book.
Fordlandia. Lots of recommendations this week. We need another beer. We'll be right back. Look, thanks so much for hanging in there. I know that this week has been a struggle. I know that you've thought multiple times about turning off this episode. But the fact that you're still here, it means the world. So even if you didn't go buy that book, I'm going to pretend like someone is still listening to this, and I'm going to carry on. For our grand tasting tonight, Corbin was kind enough to bring another beer our way. This beer is from one of our Georgia breweries, one that we don't drink enough or talk about enough on the show, Wild Heaven. I'm presuming they're named after the lyric in the REM song, but I would think so. Knowing who's involved with us, very music-heavy folk, I would think that that's the case. Corbin, what is the beer that you brought for us today, and what can you tell us about it?
So this beer is called Funkenrauch, I believe would be the appropriate pronunciation.
Let's do that.
This is actually a smoked wild ale aged in Bordeaux barrels. Now this I believe it's the 2015 edition.
I think that's the only edition.
It might be the only edition.
I think so.
So it's before their rebranding they just did.
Yep.
It's got their old label, old logo. It's part of their Last Wing collection. So yeah, this is,
All right. So with this beer, Corbin said, this is a beer that was maybe a one and done. I'm not sure.
They may have done it twice,
but it's probably no longer in rotation. I don't think it's something they're still pulling out.
They bill it as a new beer style.
Right.
Why
don't you read that little statement on the back of the bottle? Because it's kind of interesting, right?
Okay. A truly new beer style is a rare thing, but Funkenrauch is born of brewmaster Eric's obsession with understanding beer on a molecular level. A 100% smoked malt beer shouldn't taste so bright and light, but the addition of Brettanomyces eats up much of the smoky phenols that could have overwhelmed the palate, leaving behind a sour smoked beer that's unlike any we've ever tried.
There you go. So basically, they're brewing a wild ale, and they're using smoked malt, and they're aging it in Bordeaux barrels. This is a 750-milliliter bottle. We did mention that Wild Heaven has recently undergone a really neat redesign, rebranding of their whole line, and so it's really, each beer has its own specific look. It's not a line-wide. You can't just look at a can and know that's a Wild Heaven beer. They're designing them in a very artist-specific way. They're pulling in artists known for different things, different styles. And it is a design specific to the beer, not to the brewery, which is kind of a unique way to go. You do sacrifice some shelf loyalty with that for sure. But it puts a lot of trust and faith in the beer itself.
Well, yeah, I think it draws attention to the label. A lot of folks shop by label, and so you don't, like you said, you don't get that brand loyalty from it, but every single bottle or can is eye-catching for the label art.
And if you know Wild Heaven at all, it's probably, for better or worse, due to emergency drinking beer. And I think that this is their Pilsner. It's a really light, easy to drink, sessionable beer. That was the first beer they did kind of in a one-off can. And it looks like the emergency drinking water cans that you might have on a boat, right? That was their kind of thing. It's very striking. I mean, the idea is that it's maybe a little gimmicky too, but it worked for them. They moved. That was the beer that allowed Wild Heaven. It's not the Funkenrauch. It's not these kind of experimental things. But that beer, which is a very kind of middle of the road, not offending anybody beer, in a world of craft where the extremes are promoted and promoted and promoted, that they were able to move tons of, I think, in overwhelming reason because of how the can looked. Mm-hmm. It looks cool. It's a cool design. And so when you see all of these, like the Bloodwise IPA, which has the neon, the heart, mm-hmm. and they have these really unique, very graphic designs for these new cans that they're doing. But this is the traditional old style. And if you do pick up one of these or see one around, Raymond, how would you describe the older aesthetic that they were using on these large format bottles?
Well, it's very minimal, for sure. It's just two colors, really, green in this case, and a kind of a dull yellow. but just very sparse. There's just the text on there. There's kind of a little molecular looking pattern in the background, but it's very subdued. The logo, the font, is what really kind of stands out. It's all about the text. It's not about the image.
And I think this is the opposite of how they've moved now. This is much more, it reminds me a lot of some of the brewery labels, especially the middle part, that kind of icon, the shape. It's a full wrap label, not a
label. Yes,
right. It reminds me of some of that. And this is much more about the brewery rather than the beer. Yeah, they'll change the font for the beer name, make it German, you know, that kind of old Englishy kind of thing. But all right, let's get on to it. What does it look like in the glass? It's golden orange. It's relatively, I mean, it's not a clear beer, but I wouldn't necessarily call it cloudy. I think it has a really rich hue. I think it's a really attractive beer in the glass, especially when it has that little bit of head on it, fresh from the pour. This beer does have a little bit of age on it, but it's still poured.
Yeah.
And not aggressively, but it's still poured with a nice amount of carbonation. The smell. The smell is exciting because I don't know what's coming next.
I had a very visceral negative reaction to the nose here.
Tell me why. Because
I actually had a, when I was in college, I had an apartment that caught on fire and burned. And I'm going someplace with this.
Turn it off.
And actually, my apartment was fine, but the apartment next door, but my house or my apartment was filled with smoke, and for months that was all I could smell. And it smells like burn stuff.
A lot
I mean,
of PTSD over there.
Well, speaking of PTSD, Corbin, you and I have brewed a couple of beers lately,
That's true.
I've mentioned them on the podcast. The aroma in this, is this bringing back any kind of negative connotations?
It is very reminiscent of a burnt rubber brewing company.
That's what we're going to call it. That's great. We're going to sell tons of units because our cans are going to look awesome.
Yep. Skid marks as far as the eye can see.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what to name this episode anymore. It's just going to be Untitled Episode 168.
Skid marks.
Because I have no reference anymore for what to call this. It's brewed with smoked malts.
Yeah.
It's opened up, though. I will say the first sniff I had. But now, after it's been sitting here, I actually had to put it away. I moved it away from me. I didn't. And now it's... There's some fruitier things going on in there. It's not aggressive.
It's not one note.
It's not.
I still might use the word aggressive, and there is a plasticky piece
of
soot.
It's I think from that wild yeast, it's that adhesive medical strip sort of.
Oh, good call.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so it's that plus burning plus almost kind of a peachy smell, like a really ripe fruit.
All right.
So first sip, the carbonation is still really the carbonation on your tongue. It's a very specific, it's not full of bubbles, but there is a reaction to your tongue that's very active. And I think is very positive in this because it keeps the flavors moving. They're not sitting and, there is a ton of smoke, and the smoke is not liquid smoke. It's not artificial smoke. It is a very meaty smoke.
It's campfire almost, kind of, to me.
It is not bacon, but like it is a meaty smoke.
Hot smoke, sausage, whatever in there. It's
And then the underlying beer... It has a little bit of sweetness to it. I need another sip. You guys talk.
It is not what I was expecting from the nose.
Not at all.
I generally don't like smoked beers. So I was a little hesitant about this, particularly after that first inhalation. But it's much more subdued, and there's still plenty of smoke in there.
A lot of smoke.
But it's not. It's not that imitation smoke, which I don't like at all. You're right. It is very campfire. It's got that meaty quality to it, but it is also kind of fruity, like an apple, smoked apple sausage or something.
Well, let's talk
like
about that, the wild ale aspect of this. So you could come at this from two ways. They're marketing it as two things. It's a wild ale that you're thinking a sour, you're thinking some real acidity, you're thinking some sort of a fruit aspect, a sour fruit aspect. Look, there is a murder happening in the next room, if you can hear that. I don't know if you can or not. Whatever. It doesn't matter anymore. I'm just rolling with it. The barnyard, the hay, the Brettanomyces. I mean, those kind of things that you associate with a wild yeast strain invading a beer and what can happen to it. And then you have the smoked piece of it, which is like a beer with smoke. It's pretty straightforward. The smoke we all get. We've all talked about that. Rick, Corbin, what are you getting the wild ale piece of this?
I think, and what I really appreciate about this, with the aroma and the first couple tastes, that smoke just kind of, it becomes part of your palate, and it moves aside. And so as I continue to drink it, I'm really getting some, it's a tad bit of tartness, but a lot of fruit.
I get the fruit too. It's not.
the murder next door is getting louder and louder.
But it is. I keep going back to like an apple, or I don't know. It's not a citrus fruit. Mm-mm. It's not. It's that earthier kind of fruit to it. It's.
I want to jump into beer review theater because we've got a two for this week.
To beer or not to beer? It's time for Beer Review Theater.
All right, because Keith isn't here, I think it's a fair game to delve into Keith's spreadsheet and read his review of this beer. Straight up, no accent, this is Keith's review of this pickup. This has to be one of the most unique beers I've seen in a while. I was super hesitant to even pick up a bottle, but my curiosity got the best of me, and into my cart went a smoked wild ale aged in Bordeaux barrels. We haven't even talked about the barrels.
Yeah, we need to get back to that.
Didn't even talk about that.
This has a pretty look to it. I agree. Lightly golden with a rather nice head that stays for a while for a sour ale. The aroma, the best I can describe it, is smoked salmon. I don't necessarily get fish, but smoked meat.
The smoked meat, and he's a pescatarian. That's going to be his strongest.
That may be his thing. I'm not sure why I'm not revolted by this, but I really kind of like it. And like is in all caps. The taste brings a very quick hint of tartness, but is gone almost so fast that you think it wasn't there at all. Mostly a smoked beer, same, in the taste, but there are some odd red wine notes powering their way through all the smokiness. Dry and yeasty on the finish makes a fine bookend to the strange beer. I'm probably a bit crazy, but even with a steep price tag, I kind of want a few more bottles of this. It is like nothing I've had before. 3 out of 5 B+. Interesting, because we can't compare this to a style. Like, you know, it's not like I can do a line item chart like we could for a West Coast IPA and say, I'm expecting these notes to be hit. You can't. They say on the bottle they're trying to do something different. This is something new. This is something whatever.
A whole new style.
That's hyperbole by trying to sell a beer too, right? Sure, that's the brewery saying that. But it's true. It's not like anything else that people have presumably had before. I'm not surprised that Keith liked this, because at some point when you've had so many beers, the novelty of it being a different thing, I think, equates to extra points on the scale. That said, I don't think he inflated his rating of this. I think his enthusiasm was probably inflated by it, but not his rating. So 3 out of 5, an interesting place to be. I want to go to somebody who gave this beer a slightly lower review. This is a user on Beer Advocate. This is Georgia_liquor, GA_liquor on Beer Advocate. Had a chance to have this back in 2015, August 27th.
This was fresh.
A fresh beer. A 1.54. A 1.54 out of 5. I'm not surprised that this is a beer that draws some polar opinions. Its overall Beer Advocate score is at 84, but that is only with 25 ratings. This is not a beer that had a lot of distribution, had a lot of bottles go out.
Interesting.
So there are only 9 reviews and 25 ratings. So I'm going from a really small pool here. So your mileage may vary, of course, with Georgia Liquor. long-time lurker of beer advocate. This beer here made me finally make an account. This dude didn't even have a beer, but he had this beer. He's like, I need to let people know. This beer is absolutely vile. Vial is spelled V-I-A-L, so I'm not. Ooh. It's a small,
it's a little glass bottle. Container.
You'd have to pay me, in all caps, to drink this again. I work in a liquor store here in Georgia, and I'm familiar with all our Georgia beers. They're great. Just visited Creature Comforts in Athens the other week. I've drank more beers than the average person, etc. Credentials established. This beer is 95% smoke, 5% sour wild. It could be an amazing beer, but I feel they messed up. Totally. I've had their Height of Civilization. Amazing. Dionysus. Amazing.
Agree.
Emergency drinking beer. Okay. Slash great. And their older ones. All good around. But this beer is a monster. You guys, you're basically drinking liquid Canadian bacon. Ham. Bacon. I appreciate complex beers, but this beer is so horrid. It could be amazing if it was 95% sour and 5% smoked. I think that's an awesome idea, but this was executed very poorly. Very, very poorly. I still plan to visit the brewery since it's not far from me, but geez, this beer was bad. Look, golden body, light head, smell, bacon. Artificial ham / bacon dog treats.
Artificial ham?
Well, dog treats, I think that's what he's going for. Canadian baking. Bacon. Also, sickening smells. Taste. Tastes like it smells. Seriously, just 10 times more pungent on your tongue. Smooth, goes down nice. I'll give it that. Overall, if you like the smell of meat dog treats, this is the beer for you. Don't get me wrong. I love bacon, ham, meats, etc. Just don't put it in my beer. I want this beer to be successful. It needs a lot more sour and a lot less smoke, in air quotation marks. Roommate and I couldn't even finish the bomber. I was so hyped to try this beer since everything they make is amazing. But this was an abomination. Drink at your own risk. Just trying to save you the $12 to $16, depending on your store. Will not buy again. And I'll also be letting my boss not to order a case or three.
Ooh. Three?
Not a case or two, a case
slow
or
down,
three.
Boss.
Oh, boy. So that was the most overwhelming negative review of this on Beer Advocate. The highest review is a 4.78.
Hey.
All in between. I think that Keith's 3 out of 5. I feel like this could go lots of different ways. I feel like you can bonus this up because it's so weird.
It is. It is an unusual.
And it's unlike the other, like, so this guy was all hyped about bacon, right? And we have had beers that are billed as being like as meat beers, not even just bacon. There is like the bacon, the Voodoo Donut bacon beer, our infamous first drain pour was that. But there are other beers that like claim to be like what Dogfish Head did, the one with Scrapple or whatever recently. And well, you can't really even taste it. But like there are beers that try to be meat beers. This beer is not trying to be a meat beer. This beer is trying to be a traditional Rausch beer with wild yeast. And I feel like you can really slag it if it's like a gimmicky, we're trying to do this thing. But I don't feel like that's the case. I feel like this is just what they got. And they bottled it, and I gotta say kudos to you for doing it and putting it out, because it's a unique idea. It is not for everybody. I think that if you are somebody who wants your beer to be one thing, this is not your beer. Corbin, who do you think this beer, I've been talking for a long time, well, who do you think this beer would appeal to? Like somebody who, like, what are the other styles that they like, or can you even like pinpoint other beers or other like points for people to kind of like hone in on that this is something they might be interested in?
I mean, it's hard to say. I feel like most smoked beers are darker beers because you're gonna play with those darker malts.
Truth.
More caramel, things like this. It's such a light beer. And
that's extremely insightful because I think that may be where the road we're hitting up against or the wall we're hitting up against for people for people like Georgia Liquors.
Who it's is not just for like, your average Georgia Liquor employee.
that is too smoked. And it's because the base beer can't stand up against it.
Yep.
If this was really caramel malty, like a medium brown color beer that you know has a lot of sugary sweetness and has that kind of a real backbone. I feel like we use that word in beer a lot when it talks about the malt profile. It's usually about how the hops correspond against it or the fruit or whatever has been done to the beer, the aging even. The Bordeaux barrels. We still have not talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
Raymond?
I didn't get any of it the first time we were talking about it, but I will say that now that it's been sitting here, and I this is not a quick drinking beer. I there's no guzzling.
I'm trying. There. I'm working on it.
When I stop and I put that sip, and it's a sip, and it kind of sits there, I can taste a little bit of that wine quality in there. It's very subtle. It's towards the end of things, but it's there.
And I wouldn't be just reading the pedigree. I don't know. Like in the description of this beer, you know that the Bordeaux barrels are a part of the process. Mm-hmm. And I can get in the flavor being like, oh, well, there's that twinge. There's that little bit of a grape dark piece, but it is so mild. I never in a million years would have been like, I wouldn't have pinpointed that.
No.
I wouldn't have said that. And the amount of smoke in this, for me, masks whatever I would consider to be barrel quality. And something that wasn't smoked, I may be able to pick out some woodiness, some, you know, depending on the actual barrel type that was used in this. And then the actual winey piece of this as well. But for it to be such a bright, ish golden beer, it just, the smoke is so much. I think 95.5 is probably a little bit harsh on the, but because of the fact that the smoke is so strong, there's just nothing there to fight against it.
Well, it's 100% smoked malt,
right?
So
yeah,
all of the fermentables in there were smoked.
Yep.
So you're gonna get
homebrewers, take notes, y'all. Like, if you're going all in with this, you're going to get something that is going to be smoky. It's our ABV on this is what, 7%? It's
what did the IBUs does it say?
7% by volume does not say IBUs.
Not surprised. Not surprised.
I want to know what hops were used in this because I don't know what they would be or. I guess
doesn't
it would
matter.
Just be just a little bit of bitter.
Yeah, I don't think it. Yeah, it doesn't matter here.
Yeah. A bacon hops.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Fake meat dog treat hops.
Dog treat.
That's what we're tasting.
Coming dog out of treat. Yakima Valley right now.
Oh, man. Dog treat hops are so hot right now. I got to get on to that. Do you have any companies I can invest in that make dog treat hops? Because AB InBev is going to buy my whole farm. They're going to like, that's what South Africa's totally into right now, are dog treat hops.
The future.
Oh, timely. Hashtag timely. All right, so Funkenrausch, this is not something you can go pick up. This is something that was a 2015 vintage from Wild Heaven. Again, Wild Heaven doing some super interesting things out of Georgia. Are they Decatur? Or are they Avondale States?
But they moved. It's right outside of Decatur.
Right there.
It's like neighbor.
So when you're doing your...
Serve your neighbor.
Atlanta rap tour, you can totally go by Wild Heaven and check out what they're doing too.
It's a nice tasting room.
It is. I've heard good things about it. I haven't been up there myself, but I've heard very good. You had a good night up there, right? You guys did like
goodness gracious me.
Yeah. All right. That's another story for another time. For more about us and Brew Drink Run, you can go to brewdrinkrun.com. Hit us up on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook. We're at Brew Drink Run. We're also all on Untappd. If you want to know more about the show, Go to this place, as I already said. I'm just like, I'm freewheeling this because nobody's listening at this point. Brewdrinkrun.com. Our theme music is provided by Morning Lights. Thanks for listening to this. Anyway, we'll see you at the bar. Cheers.
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 Thanks for being here, Gordon.
Yeah, and thanks for providing this beer. I saw this beer on the show.
I never would have bought this beer.
I never would have purchased it. And even if I had, I could not have finished a full bottle of this. This is a three-person bottle.
That's why I brought it. I was like, what other opportunity do I get? When am I going to see two other people that drink beer? But I really enjoyed Dionysus. I really enjoyed Ida Civilization. Funkenrauch. I got this at Hops and Barley when it was still...
Oh, R.I.P.
Yeah. And
What's up, David? David doesn't listen to this.
David Barker. We love you. And he was like...
R.I.P. David Barker.
Don't do that. That's not nice.
Oh, God. What is something... Oh, I'm stopping this now.